Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This guy's been covering the Brewers for a while, and I've been listening to this Brewer postgame show that we've had on The Fan for a long, long time, and I think Bill Schmidt's doing a great job on it. I obviously love Tim Allen and think the world of him. There's one thing that happens on this postgame show, Billy, that drives me nuts. It's the one thing that Tim does that drives me nuts, and he did it again last night after the game, when he says that the Brewers should retire number 10 for the fans.
Oh my God.
I want to jump through the radio, and we'll see Tim later today, so I'll yell at him for this in person.
Mm-hmm.
He says he wants to retire the number 10 for the fans because, you know, there's nine positions that play in baseball, retire 10 for the fans. I don't know what that would help anybody. So I was yelling at my radio listening to you guys yesterday.
Well, he believes that it will signify the importance of Brewers fans to the organization. Aw, isn't that nice? Isn't that sweet? Who cares? Now, the best one is, Bart, now this will really get under your skin, because I think the whole idea is stupid in its own right. The 12th man out in Seattle. Cool. You guys are loud. Awesome. Do you want a trophy? No, instead we want jerseys with fan on the back of it, the number 12. All right, so here's the deal. Minnesota Wild, they start up a hockey team in the NHL. Now, I'll give you guys some breaking news. I know you guys aren't huge hockey guys. They start the team maybe 15 years ago. Opening night, Bart, what do? They have a jersey retirement ceremony for the number one for the Minnesota Wild fans. They could have been the worst fans in all of sports. Who knows? They hadn't won anything. They could have been the Philadelphia Phillies fans throwing stuff on the ice for all they know.
Dude, the Seattle thing, whatever. They retire the number 12. You know darn sure that if any Seahawk ever wanted to wear number 12, they wouldn't let them because it's for the fans, right?
No chance.
But when 40-year-old Jerry Rice strolls into Seattle and wants to play a year, Steve Largent wears number 80, and Rice is like, I want to wear 80. And so the Seahawks have to go to Largent and like, please, we really want Rice. And he let him.
I feel like,
so you can wear Steve Largent's number and not the number for hipster Seattle fan?
But if you have to, I feel like they could unretire it.
Unretiring numbers is stupid.
If you're going to do it and you're going to retire the number 80 and then you're going to take it out of retirement, Jerry Rice, at least catch 80 balls. Oh, it was like Michael Jordan playing for the Wizards. Sorry.
Yeah, it was stupid. All right, we've been talking about the Brewers, obviously, and where they kind of rank here with the Cubs as the Cubs make a move this week. The Brewers, I mean, they made their own move. They sent Keston Hira down for Travis Shaw again. And that, I know you guys were a little fired up on the big show this week. We've been fired up about it here on the show. When you look at the two moves and everything that's going on, right now, do you still put the Brewers as the favorite in the NL Central, or do you have to go with the Cubs?
It's tough for me, man. It's really tough. I've thought the Cubs were possibly and arguably the better team all year long. I thought the Brewers were, talent-wise, in the lineup, guys, 1 through 8, hard-pressed to find any team in baseball that's going to have a better 1 through 8 than the Milwaukee Brewers. No doubt about that. But when you're starting the regular season with 3/5 of your starting rotation being guys that have never done it for a full year in the big leagues, that's a gamble that all three of us, I know we like to put a little bit of money down on the table, none of us would have backed. I don't believe any of us, if we're sitting at the table, would have backed that up with odds, that all three of those guys were going to find full-season prolonged success in the starting rotation at that point. And for that same reason, I thought the Cubs were going to be maybe 2 games better in the division. Maybe the Cardinals would be 2 games better in the division. But this division is shaping up, more importantly, exactly how I expected it. Everybody is clumped up tighter than any other division you're going to find in baseball. And for the Brewers, you get 9 games here in the next month and a half, month and some change, before the All-Star break. 9 against the Pirates, 7 against the Reds. Every other division, you're thinking, okay, we can get fat against those two teams at the bottom of the league. And instead, you're looking at the Reds. They're only 6 games back of first place. So when Keston Hira goes down for Travis Shaw, guys, I think this baseball team is better when Travis Shaw, it's at its best when Travis Shaw is in the middle of the lineup. He's hitting 4, he's hitting 5, he's hitting home runs, he's hitting 260. But at the exact moment, the reason why it's so divisive, is because Travis Shaw had really not shown us that he had broken out in the minors. And now he's going to be able to have the opportunity to show us that he's changed something in his swing, changed something in his approach right away at the big league level. If you look at Robert Murray, had a cool article about it at The Athletic a couple of days ago. And he wrote about Mike Moustakas and the pro walk struggles that Moose had back in 2014. And he was right around the same time of service time as Travis Shaw is at this point. And Moose had to go down. Moose was only down for 8 games, I believe it was. It was about the appropriate amount of time that you're really going to send a guy of Travis Shaw's run in the last 2 years down, knowing that he's going to come up after an injury and give him 150 at-bats to see where he can be at and see where he's at right now.
Bill, if you're making the decisions and you want to build the perfect team to compete here and, you know, for a pennant down the stretch, would you add a reliever, a lefty out of the bullpen like a Will Smith, or would you, you know, you brought up the starting rotation and how you can't really trust any of these guys. I mean, a lot of them are pretty young, so when you get to postseason baseball, you want a guy that could go out there and get you 7 to 8 innings, like a Madison Bumgarner, if his name's out there, which we don't even know if it will become deadline time. So would you rather add to the pen a lefty like Will Smith or add another starter?
Orvie, I want Mad Bum. I don't know. And I've crossed this bridge a few different times where I don't necessarily believe you need the guy that's won in the postseason to then go and win in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But it damn sure makes it easier.
Right.
All I know is I watched the L.A. Dodgers last year with guys that had been there in the rotation, Kershaw, Hill, name another one, Jansen had pitched in those big spots. And then they had one young dude in Walker Buehler who arguably was the best one out of all of them, but you didn't have to count on 3/5 of that.
Right.
You had a couple of guys that were at the front of it that would be able to take you one game if you needed. Madison Bumgarner, I don't know what's going on with that dude. I don't know if he wants to pitch in the postseason. I don't know if he wants to stay in San Francisco. His no trade teams of the Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, Brewers, Cubs, whatever it was, the 3 other ones. He obviously doesn't want to leave at this moment. Or maybe he was pandering to the fan base of saying, hey, guys, I want an extension. They're not going to give me one. I'll look like the good guy saying I'm doing everything I can to stay here in San Francisco. They trade me. If they're able to make a move like that, guys, that's a dude that is bona fide postseason success, not experience success. There's a difference between going to the playoffs year in and year out and getting worked. Like, look at the Washington Nationals. Yeah, they had postseason experience.
Mm-hmm.
They had gotten postseason experience of getting bounced in the first round 3 straight years. So there's a difference between having postseason success and experience. Madison Bumgarner gives you a guy that goes onto the mound, game 1 of the NLCS, spitting seeds, kicking dirt, and kicking ass and taking names. I think that's a dude that you can count on 3 times in a series if need be. If you're able to get a deal like that done, I think that takes it off the sheet out of any other position.
And what you're saying there has been exactly my point when I talk about this, because a guy like Madison Bumgarner is huge for the clubhouse. And I know that's so cliche, but he's been there, he's done that. And you don't need all that, like you said. But also, like, he intimidates the umpire. When he's out there and he's spitting seeds, like you said, like, he's in the umpire's head almost. And I just feel like when you have an ace like that, you set yourself up and you're in some good position. We keep talking about pitching and the bullpen and the starting rotation, but you're getting nothing offensively from Jesus. Would you be surprised, like, I keep talking deadline, and I know we're ways away, but when you look at this team and you look what the moves that the Cubs are making and what the Cardinals did in the offseason, would you be surprised if the Brewers maybe tried to add another bat when you're getting 0 offensively from Shaw and Zeus? But you do got a guy like Keston Hira, obviously, who you could bring back up, but I still feel like you need another bat in that lineup, too.
I wouldn't be surprised. I guess that's the best way to put it. I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and grabbed a veteran bat like a Curtis Granderson.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a bench guy who's been there before, done that before. To kind of wrap up with what you were just saying, Ryan, about the starting pitching. Guys, look at what Justin Verlander has done in Houston. I understand he was in a different situation. He had years on his contract when he was traded in the waiver period of 2017, the waiver period that no longer exists, the former August 31st trade date. But everybody looked at us like we were crazy, saying that, dude, if the Brewers are able to go and get Justin Verlander right now at 3 years, $67 million left on the deal or whatever it was, you have him for a couple of years that your teammates look at that guy coming to the clubhouse and say, dude, we're for real. That Justin Verlander, that guy's got two Cy Youngs. Mm-hmm. Madison Bumgarner, that guy's got a World Series MVP, a Cy Young. I've seen him slam six beers on TV with Tim McCarver standing right next to him. That guy's legit. And it makes you a different ball club from a mindset standpoint, similar to certain bats can. Like J.D. Martinez a couple of years ago, he was that lightning rod for the Diamondbacks when they made that move. I could definitely see the Brewers going and getting a bat. Do I think it's going to be start of the line, top of the line, first base bat? I probably think that they look at either Shaw, Aguilar, Thames guys, a 380 on base is an awful 850 OPS from Eric Thames. I know you wanted something a little bit more in the power department, but Yasmani Grandal can also play first base. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's opportunities that they're going to do with that at first. And ultimately, if this were to continue, yes, Ryan, you're right. Hira's going to come back, play second base. Mike Moustakas is going to go over and play third base. He did have two home runs yesterday while he was lining up at third. Obviously seems comfortable when he's in the lineup over there. And then you grip it and rip it from there and see how far you can go.
Billy, where are you? Billy Schmidt, Big Show, post-game show. You'll hear him this weekend on The Fan, of course. Big Show 2-6, you know that, obviously. With the money argument, because here's where I look at with Craig Kimbrel, to go back to that. You look at the Brewers and their payroll is about $125 million. And what the Brewers say is, hey, this is the highest payroll we've ever had. Okay? And I think what that gets interpreted by people is, this is the amount that we can spend and there's no more. But they're not saying that. What they're saying is, this is the highest payroll we've ever had. I still think that if the Brewers wanted to, I mean, they could pay more. There's clearly nothing them stopping them in the baseball rules. And the Brewers are not a business that doesn't make a profit. So I think that there's more money to spend. The thing with Kimbrel, and if you're like, well, I don't need Craig Kimbrel. I want to get someone like Will Smith or one of these other relievers. I think it's easier for a baseball team like the Brewers to maybe just spend a little more money this week than dig into their farm system and give up prospects. Because ultimately, I think the Brewers can recoup that money. It's going to be harder for them to recoup some of the prospects. Do you buy the argument from people that the Brewers didn't get Craig Kimbrel because they don't have the money to spend?
I think money was a major factor in the reason why the Brewers weren't interested, or as interested as some people believe they were, in Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrel. I think that money is one of the things that we all know it makes the world go round. But when you're making decisions for this baseball team, you really do have to factor it in, because you can't screw up. You can't miss on multiple contracts, because that hamstrings your team to where you have to start Randy Wolf for the rest of his third year in a three-year, $30 million contract. Or Kyle Loesch, for when you had to keep him in the rotation. We got to give him another shot, guys. He's been in the rotation. We got to give him one more chance to see if he can recapture what he had. Because you really can't leave $12.5 million just chilling on the bench. Look at Eric Thames, guys. They're paying him $6, $7 million. And they're putting him on the bench. That's an uncomfortable situation for the Milwaukee Brewers to be in. And, Bart, I totally agree with you. The Brewers make money. Mark Antanasio makes money on this baseball team. He has since he bought the team. Look at what the expected growth is of what the value is at this point. He paid like $280 million for the team, $220-some million for the team. Forbes ranked them over $1 billion last year in net worth. They're worth a lot of money. They're an extremely profitable franchise for a team in Major League Baseball that's everything is down, attendance is down, TV ratings are down. Look at the Brewers, guys. TV ratings just came out on the Business Journal this week. They were up in the month.
Oh, wow. You have $300 to pay for a month subscription to that site?
No, I just use it like my Athletic website where I just use yours. But where you're able to, at that point, go into a Bucks run that was supposed to take all this attention away from the Brewers, and their TV deal was better. Their TV viewership was higher. Their attendance is on pace to be over 3 million, well over 3 million. So they're going to make money. If you're going to tell me that's why you can't make a move, stop it. If you didn't believe that Craig Kimbrel was the pitcher that he was 3 years ago, and you didn't think he was worth $16 million for 2 years after a prorated $10 million for this year, okay, cool. I can get down with that. And frankly, guys, I'm not positive that he is.
Find me someone with the Business Journal password, because if I want the Journal, it's like, you know, affordable. If I want some of these other pay sites, it's affordable. I tried to read a Business Journal article the other day. Hey, give us $250 for the year. Whoa! There's not even like free articles that you can do. No, it's like, geez.
No, they don't even give you a little taster with a freebie, like four free articles. No, let's pay at this window.
My God.
My money goes towards other websites.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm interested in Milwaukee.
I heard the conversation that you had, Horvath, before. WrestleMania would probably be a close second to me to the AVN Awards.
Yeah, the AVN, they're a must go. They have like a special every once in a while. And they
are you watching Super Showdown today?
No, I will be doing the big show. And I'm actually kind of glad that I'm not watching it, Bart, because
blood money.
It's more just laughable at this point.
And, well, it's going to suck. I'll be home, though. I'll be
I got to watch Goldberg and Undertaker.
Why? It's going to suck. All right, Billy. We love you. See ya.
All right, boys.
Oh, hey, don't be offended when we tweeted that you're coming on, we put a GIF up of the Kool-Aid man bursting through a door.
Oh, yeah.
See ya, bud. Bye.
Bye.
Bill Schmidt. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.